Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision Disability. Greetings, welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, a show about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate, voice your opinion, voice your concerns, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which is inclusion in society, which is living in your community. Welcome, America, to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is increase your network and you'll increase your net worth. And at microphone number two is our hostess with the Moses, Miss Renee. Again, welcome. Welcome, my studio audience. This is Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your host. And although I've been blind for more than 55 years, when I was a mere lad of 13, a big firecracker exploded in my face and blinded me in both eyes. But in spite of that, every day I rise, I feel blessed and highly favored, and I know God is good. Greetings, and how are you today, Miss Renee?
Well, Mr. Ray, I've lost count of what day I've been under a stay-at-home order from our governor here in Maryland, but I seem to be doing okay. And you?
Well, considering I've been at home for almost 6 weeks now with this this virus that's going around. Which is affecting all of our lives. One of the new phrases is your new normal. I'm adjusting to my new normal.
So
what is our lineup for the show today? And we're so glad to be back.
And we're going to talk about where have you been. Anyway, our show rundown is The Adventures of Mr. Ray and Raven. Yes, that's a brand new name. We got to find out why he's seeing somebody else behind Mr. Ray Tico's back. And in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the news which affects the disability and seniors communities. And then always we end up that segment with your call to action, which is the challenge to all of us as to what we need to do. And today we're going to talk about where have you been and what have you been doing and why did you leave us alone? And that will be the gist of our show today. So back over to you with The Adventures of Mr. Ray and Raven. Who is she and where did she come from?
Well, all right, you know, I always like to start the show with The Adventures of Reverend Ray and the German Shepherd Seeing Eye Dog. And it's not Mr. Ray Tico. Unfortunately, Mr. Ray Tico passed 2 years ago around Thanksgiving on 2018. And I have my seventh guide dog, which is Miss Raven, and that's R-A-Y-V-E-N. She's a beautiful German Shepherd, female German Shepherd. And she's what we call a coated Shepherd, and the coded shepherd is a shepherd. Only like 3% of all shepherds that's born are coded shepherds. They have a little longer hair. They're beautiful dogs. The ears are a little larger and extremely, extremely intelligent. So you'll hear me be saying The Adventures of Reverend Ray and his German Shepherd Seeing That Dog, Miss Raven. Now the adventure today, but two things I like to share in terms of Miss Raven is one, I recently been elected as the new president of CAGDU, which is CAGDU And that is Capital Area Guide Dogs Users, Inc. And that is persons with guide dogs that's members that we have members that's in PG County, Prince George's County, Montgomery County, Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Southern Maryland, Baltimore County, and Baltimore City. And it's about 100 members. Some of them ain't paid dues yet, but anyway, we'll talk about that. And our purpose is to make people aware of the etiquette of using a CNI guide dog, and that's on both parts. One, how a person, which is a handler, myself with the dog, how we use the dog to give us the independence and move throughout our daily activity, and two, to educate the public how to interact with a service dog. And also the other thing is that, and this is sort of little, during this coronavirus period, just want to caution people with dogs that your dog can become infected from getting getting the virus from a human to the dog, but they have not determined if a dog or pet, and they also cats, can pass it on to another animal and of its species or pass it on to a human. So, and we do know a couple of persons with guide dog users that have passed it on to their dog. And unfortunately, and I won't give a name, we have one guide dog user who has passed from the virus, and we keep their family in prayer. And so we'll talk more about this, but the adventures of Reverend Ray and his German Shepherd female new guide dog, Miss Raven, has been brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf, and that's W-O-O-F, Wolf, Wolf. And they are a major sponsor of Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. They are located in Tacoma Park. You can call them at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And you'll hear more about them as the show go on. And the good, the bad, the ugly issues, disability, and our seniors. And during this call, what is that again, Ms. Renee? Maybe because of the coronavirus. Coronavirus. I guess I heard it so much. I'm mentally blocked at, but the coronavirus. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's funny because I have a friend last name Corona, and I always try not to say her first name before I say Corona. So I stumbled over the coronavirus. So anyway, they know who that schoolmate is, Merrill School for the Blind. And so anyway, with this virus, the good thing is for persons and seniors is that people that the powers to be, the officials, they are making provisions for persons that are seniors and persons with disabilities to be able to receive food and all. And here in Prince George County, I don't have special numbers in other counties and all, and I'm sure you could probably go onto your government website, but in Prince George's County here, the number, if you need anything, supplies, need to find out about where you can go get tested, or you have problems with your utilities, that number is 301-883-6627. That emergency number is, again, it's 301-883-6627. And also in Maryland, you can dial 311 or you can dial 211, and they'll tell you what the difference between the 211 and the 311 are call centers. And also for bad, people with disability, because we have a stay-in-home order, and that's right here in the metropolitan area, and I think it's like 39 states right now have the stay-in-home order, that persons with disabilities are having more challenges because we need people to come and assist us, and what we call a PCA, a personal care attendant, well, because so many persons with disability have a person to come in to assist them with this virus. I'll just say virus. See, virus is that that it's finding it difficult for you hear everybody talk about the PCEs, the protection personal protection equipment is that the lack of it. Well, some people have a PCA or assistant that's with them anywhere from 8 hours to some people have three PCAs that's with them 8 hours, three times a day. And they have to have, the mask, they have to have the shield guard, and they have to have the gloves and the gown. And this stuff is not easy to get. So, unfortunately, the ugly part of it is that a lot of PCA persons, and I know they want to protect themselves, and they have a right, they have not been showing up or refused to come to be disability if they do not have those the PPE equipment, which you cannot blame them. So we're having some challenges with persons with disability being at home, in home, homebound, not having a PCA. So, but the medical persons to be, they are trying to work that out. And I just want to give a shout out to Prince George County County Exec Ms. Alsobrook. She has done an extraordinary job, and her staff, and addressing the needs of persons with disability, as well as the so-called TABs, and that's temporary able-bodied persons. So anyway, so that is and now I want to do my call to action. And my call to action is that persons with disability that's at home, please, I know you need to get out, but use these phone numbers now and use your electronics to call out now, because for the 90% of persons with disability, they are very vulnerable and have they part of this group that they call underlying conditions. You know, because most persons that have a disability, there's something that's going on physically or mentally or emotionally. So you need to be really, really careful about moving about, going out into the public, and also please use your resources in terms of family and friends, and call, and they, as well as they protect themselves, you protect yourself, because if you they just gave out some statistics nationwide that the United States, the nation, has lost more persons to this virus than we did in the Vietnam War, and I know that's over close to 60,000 persons. So please be careful, be careful, be careful. And this segment has been brought to you by Real Time Pain Relief, the best smelling, most effective real time relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on and the pain is gone. Now back over to microphone number two, our hostess with the Moses, Ms. Renee.
We want to remind you that you are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio, and it's hosted by Reverend Radio Ray Razor.
Well, welcome back to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. And I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. I know we have been, I can't say we've been on sabbatical, but we have been doing some other things for a while. And I think Ms. Renee, our hostess, is going to reveal to you what Mr. Ray been doing while we've been on hiatus. But we are back now with a lot of new shows, a lot of new people we have met, and a lot of new adventures with my new number 7 guide dog, Miss Raven. So, Miss Renee, how are you doing, and are you glad to be back?
I am. You know, being back on the radio is a lot like riding a bicycle. You don't forget, but you're a little wobbly when you first start off. So we got some wobbles to get out of, but I am glad are back. And you're back on the airwaves after an extended hiatus. Now, you keep referring to your new guide dog. I guess you don't call Amazon and get that delivered. So how did you go about getting a new dog guide?
Well, you know, as a guide dog user, and I have been a guide dog user since June 1971. And as I say, this is my 7th dog. And when you had your first dog, you become what they call a retread. So as a retreader, you get some preferential treatment because there's a number of blind persons on the list to go get guide dogs, even though they think it's like 16 guide dogs. Schools in the country, and it's about 5 or 6, maybe about 10, that's very popular. But I got my dog from a CNI guide dog school in Morristown, New Jersey, which is the oldest guide dog school in the first, that started in January the 29th, 1929. But being a graduate, that all I have to do is call up, tell them, you know, that I lost my dog or losing my dog or my dog got getting older, and then I just reapply and they still have a process that they'll send out a field rep to visit you, you know, to see what you can, you know, what your new circumstances are, because all the different dogs you get, you're usually in a different phase of your life. Like when I got my first dog, you know, I was just coming out of school, starting my new job. I wasn't married, didn't have any children, you know, that kind of thing. So they give you a certain type of dog. And I was like, you know, running down the street, not just, you know, walking. And now I'm, you know, walking a little slower. So they give me a dog a little different. So anyway, so they have to come out and see what your new living situation is, which they did in February of last year. And then they give that profile to some trainers that's training dogs during a certain period of time. And then they called me up in September, told me they had an opening, invited me up, and I went up and trained with the dog with Miss Raven with 22 other folks. We had a good mixture. Had some people getting their first dog, some people had gotten dogs in, even away from 4 years to 4 dogs or so. And we had one lady there, believe it or not, had a dog. This is her 15th dog she was getting. And
wow.
That's because, a number of dogs that she had got after a year or two, or they got sick or whatever. So she was on her 15th guide dog, and that is really unusual. So anyway, getting my 7th dog, Miss Raven, you only have to, if you're a new person getting a dog applicant, you used to stay there about 3.5 weeks. But if you what we call a retread like myself, then I just stayed there 2.5 weeks. And it was a very good experience, very pleased with her. Of course, I had all the dogs I have been shepherds, and she's my 7th dog. So that's where I am on this frame. She's 2 years old. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. You said all of your dogs have been shepherds. Is that a personal preference, or do they assign the dog according to the personality? You mentioned how people live at home. So is it a personal preference, or is it you live in the city versus the country? I mean, why only shepherds for you?
Well, and that's a good question. Well, at the time I was getting the dog, most of CNI guide dog school, their symbol is a German shepherd that they started out with. So they raised a lot of shepherds at one time. So during the 70s, you was getting shepherds. But since then, most of the dog schools have been breeding what they call crosses or golden retrievers crossed with a Labrador or Labradors, because people losing their sight in the last 15 years or 20 years, they've been losing their sight from not like a accident like I had, where, you know, I had an explosion in my face, but I didn't have physical limitations. But now people are losing their sight from diabetes, having a stroke, having a heart attack, so they don't have the kind of energy to be able to use a high-strung German Shepherd. So I got a German Shepherd at the time, and what they asked is the first dog that you get, you know, do not make a preference, because you really don't know the kind of dog you need and all, and so they ask you to take the first dog that you ever get. Well, fortunately, I got a German Shepherd during that time, and I realized that for my lifestyle and living in a fast-paced city like Washington, D.C., even though the dogs is not a attack dog, but, you know, the city's a little rough, and riding the subway, riding buses out late at night, you know, German Shepherd still make people think about don't do anything wrong, so that works out for me. And from that point on, I just requested a shepherd. The second time I got a dog, I requested a shepherd, and they just had a little conversation with me to say, you know, well, what if we don't have a shepherd? Would you take another dog? And I explained, well, no, because, you know, I used the dog. Then my first dog, Kim, German Shepherd, I used for about 8 years, so I had a pretty good understanding of what type of dog I could handle and I wanted. So from that point on, you know, I always requested shepherds, and fortunately they was able to get one. And one time I had to wait 14 months before I got a German Shepherd, because they was in the process of restocking their kennels, because more and more people wanted shepherds. So they had to go to Germany, buy two string of black shepherds, and brought them back and start interbreeding them with the shepherds that they have. And I got caught up at the time when I needed to get another dog. Just before I got Mr. Ray Tico, it was 14 months between him and my dog, Reina. So that's where I am with shepherds.
Well, you know, I have read that the floppy-eared dogs, like Labradors and Retrievers, and then the Golden Mixes, are more socially acceptable to the public. But as you pointed out, sometimes dog guide etiquette is not adhered to by the public. I oftentimes see dog guide users, and of course, they can't see the public, even though there might be a sign on the dog that says, please do not interfere, I am working, they put their hands at their side and they call the dog or they pet the dog, even though there's a big sign. So I heard that was why. So you still prefer the German Shepherd because it causes people to hesitate just enough to think before they accost you and your dog.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Mr. Nay, because and that's a constant battle that guide dog users have, is please, you know, because these dogs are beautiful dogs, and we know, you know, people in the public, they just love dogs and they can't help themselves, and even though, as you say, you have the sign on the dog say please don't touch and all, they still will say, I know I'm not supposed to touch a dog, but. And, you know, right there we start having trouble. And so sometimes some guide dog users have gotten so you know, they have just gotten so, what's the word?
Frustrated.
Yeah, that sometimes they might not be at their best when they're out in public and they're supposed to be ambassadors of a guide dog schools. But it's, you know, but what public don't understand, and if you're going to get a guide dog, you have to understand that there's some responsibility comes with the dog, not just taking care of the dog, but there are also some social responsibilities. And you know, and one of them is that you're constantly educating the public to, you know, the dog. If you distract the dog, it could cause your safety, because if you're going across the street and the dog has been distracted by somebody that you would let them pet them or play with them, and they, you know, not paying attention to going across the street and the car coming and they trying to get to that person or whatever, it can be a real distraction. So it's a safety thing. It's not that the guide dog handlers want to be mean and, no, I don't want you to touch my dog and all that. And then some people at one time, the guide dog schools will say, if the dog is off harness, it's okay to pet them or play with them. But some people took that to the extreme, that the dog, you know, got the plan, and then when it got back on harness, it still had a relationship with that person if they seen them all the way up the street or something or whatever. So,
right.
You know, so we would just like to, you know, let the public to understand it's not that we're being mean and don't want you to pet the dog or touch the dog or get the dog, but the distraction can cause the dog and the dog guide handler, you know, to be injured or and we didn't have a guide dog's persons killed and their dog because of this distraction.
Right. And, you know, I notice when I'm with a person who is working with their dog guide, parents are especially take a front when you don't allow their child to interact with the dog instead of teaching the child that why it's important. They wouldn't let the child walk across the light if it was red, if it was green. I mean, what we're supposed to consider as green light. They wouldn't let them do that, but somehow they feel like the dog is the exception, that they should be allowed to have their child interact. And it's just another rule and another guideline. You can't do that. And I think it's better for a parent to explain to the child than to endanger the dog guide team. So I do understand that. And I know it's a little, we're getting close to the break, but on the other side of the break, I would like for you to share a personal story about someone who has experience that, because most of the sighted public believes you can get just any dog and they have a modicum of training and that any blind person can get a dog. And so we don't understand the unique relationship between dog guide handler and the dog guide. So, you know, once again, I know that sometimes it gets repetitive, always explaining to the sighted public the relationship. And now, and again, on the other side of the break, I want you to talk a little bit about the change that has taken place with people having comfort dogs, comfort peacocks. I think somebody had a comfort squirrel. I mean, because
yeah.
Dog guides have not always been accepted in the public. You talk about CNI being one of the earliest dog guide school. There was a lot of work that went into changing the public's attitude and the laws that protect them. So we're getting close to the break. So if you bump us out, we'll take a break and come back,
okay,
and you can answer those five questions. Okay.
All right. You're listening to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. We're here every first and third Friday of the month at 3 to 4 o'clock p.m. East Coast time. We will be back on the other side of the break. More about Reverend Ray.
You are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, hosted by Reverend Radio Ray Razor, every first and third Fridays of the month on blogtalkradio.com/marketingpulpit. Or listen to past shows at disability, the number one, at radio.com. That's disability, and then the number one, radio.com, discussing issues that affect the disability and senior communities. Back over to Reverend Radio Ray.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Renee. And we also want to give a shout out to one of our major sponsors, a Big Bad Wolf. And Ms. Renee has a little advertisement there about Big Bad Wolf. Do you have it punched up where you can say a little something?
I absolutely do. Well, the Big Bad Wolf is a Primo pet store located at 6960 Maple Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. And they carry raw, organic, and premium foods. Now, if your companion needs it, you can bet they have it. Store-to-door local deliveries and curbside pickup are available. Give them a call at 202-747-3434. Again, that number is 202-747-3434. Or visit thebigbadwolf.com. That's Wolf, W-O-O-F. Back to you, Rev.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Renee. And, you know, and before the break, you had asked me about the service dogs, the status of them and being in the public today. And as you pointed out, it took years for guide dogs to be accepted into the general public, to be able to go into restaurants, all type of stores, all type of government buildings and private buildings and all. And because of the excellent training that was given to the guide dogs, so people know how well trained they are. But in recent times, some regulations that regulated how service animals should be trained was really loosened up. I mean, it was really loosened up. So there's people that don't have to be a certified trainer, that they can train an animal. And some people are training, as you say, all type of animals, squirrels, snakes, pigs, peacocks, as service animals. And it had got so out of hand that these animals being in public places has, you know, shown that they are not disciplined or well trained. And so that's sort of been a backlash on service dogs because, you know, they just start lumping service dogs with service animals. But recently, with all the lobbying of guide dog users and all, that just recently this year, the airlines have put out that they recognize guide dogs as being well trained, so you know, so they can still come on to their planes and all without all this documentation and they have to be shown and all, and they have been really, really specific about what they considered as a service animal. But myself, I had the fortune to work for CNI Guide Dog School for 2 years as a national field rep, going around talking to various groups about service dogs and all, and how the etiquette of service dogs, how important they are, how they can give the independence and, you know, and to a person that's blind. So I know, that's fight. I mean, I know the gains that we have made in the community and having a service dog accepted. But, you know, and we still having some of that backlash, about it. So that's why being the new president of CAGDU, one of the things that we really going to concentrate on is partnerships with different organizations such as the Lions Club, such as the Rotary, going out into the community once this
COVID-19.
Yeah, it's over with. you know, we're going to really market guide dog users and go guide dogs and go out into the community and just do a lot of awareness, because we have lost a lot of ground due to all these other to use a famous phrase now, fake service animals.
Yeah, I guess so. Rev, let me change gears here for a moment. The title of this show is Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio Show. And do those two communities, the disability community and the senior community, have the same agenda, same concern, same interests?
Yeah, they do. They do. And what people, you know, people are living longer. And I say that as a preference of this. One time, you know, you live 50, 60, you know, you figure you're going to die when you get around 70, 80. And even doctors now tell you they don't know what to do with these people living to be 90 and 100. We have so many people. I mean, it's not unusual now to hear somebody 100 and they still walking around spry, talking trash, having a good time, and partying and carrying on, you know. So in the disability community, if you live long enough, you know, you're going to have some limitation of your eyesight, going to get less. You can't put your arm up like you used to. You can't kick people. I mean, you can't, you know, kick your foot out like you used to. And so therefore you start moving from, yes, a senior, but you start moving into the disability community because you'll start needing more things. You're not walking the way you used to walk, so you need to use a walker. You're not able to see the way you used to see, so now you might need a cane or you might need some glasses. So I always say that the disability community is always going to, you know, if you're a senior, you're going to end up joining the disability community more likely than the disability community join the senior community. So, yes, they're interactive. And like I said, if you live long enough, you're going to have a disability.
Well, you know, I noticed that my friends who are people of a certain age are experiencing that. As you said, some of them are low vision. They call it legally blind. Some of them are doing that. And then you've got the whole idea that you have to then negotiate stop driving. You have the whole thing of hearing loss. And then all of a sudden captions become important. You know, I never thought about captions on television shows until there is some background noise there. I don't know what that
Sorry.
Is. It sounds like Donald Duck. Do you have him with you? I'm sorry, never
yes,
mind.
Go ahead.
But anyway, but all of these things that were covered under the ADA and that have been expanded under the ADA become more important. Even the handicapped seating in movie theaters, if we ever get back into movie theaters, makes it more comfortable for a person who might have hip replacement or knee replacement to sit in a handicapped seat. And all of a sudden now, it becomes important to them. So you're right. If you live long enough, God willing, you become a member of the disability community oftentimes just by aging in the normal way. And all of these perks that persons in the disability community have been exposed to or been experiencing, they become more important to you. Let me continue with that thought, Reverend.
Let me just comment on that, Ms. Renee. And that's why a show like this is so important, because unfortunately people that seniors They don't know about a lot of the disability programs. They don't know about a lot of the disability products that's out there to give them a more robust or more independent life. So instead of them finding it out after they, you know, become severely disabled, if they can listen to shows like this or get into, you know, different groups and all, they'll know that there are a lot of programs and all out there, and most of all, aids and products that can assist them and make their life just a little better.
No, absolutely. And as you said, sometimes the disability is gradual, and sometimes it is due to an incident, which makes learning about what's available more critical. And at that point, you're under an emotional stress, and so you're not thinking maybe as clearly as you would be if you knew, oh, I do know about a housing program or something like that. And oftentimes we think about children who are born with disabilities, whether it's intellectual or physical. Well, these children are already in the program, and there are programs specifically for their age group. But as a senior, aging in your own home, most people's preference is that all of a sudden you're faced with this cataclysmic change, and you have to know where the services are. So will that be one of the things you will be talking about on this show, on Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show?
Yes, indeed. We will be bringing information about those programs and all, and have guests from various organizations, agencies, and businesses that provide the services and products.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about, because you're out in the community, and I know it's local, but a lot of the concerns that people have are all over the country, as seniors, baby boomers now, are being eclipsed by the millennials, but with this, it's still a large group of people. What is the housing situation for many seniors?
Well, it's not enough, and it's not affordable. So,
oh, enough seniors or enough housing?
Well, more than enough. 2025, it will be more seniors than it is youth or young people or young adults.
Wow.
So, yes. Yeah, so we need to have more housing for seniors. But as I mentioned, as you asked before, seniors and disability goes together, because as you become a senior, just to have a senior apartment and you getting older and you become disabled, then you have a senior apartment that's not accessible for a person with a disability, as that senior can no longer walk up two flights of steps to a senior apartment. A building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or, you know, and also they have to keep that in mind as they build a senior apartment. One of the things that we're trying to encourage or influence builders that's going to build apartment buildings, that not only put in a senior apartment, but also keep in mind to put in and I forgot the name for it, the apartment where it can be adapted to a handicap, a person with a disability. It can be adapted to a person with vision, vision loss. It can be adaptable to a person that's hard of hearing, like a person that's hard of hearing, of what they call a loop that they have in the building that it can interact with their hearing aids and that kind of thing. Well, if you don't have that already built in that system in the building as you build it, then it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's difficult to put it
mm-hmm.
in later on. Well, I hear the music.
Okay.
So So it's time, when we hear that, it's time for ID, and this is Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and we're going to be on, back on the other side for our last segment to finish up where Mr. Reverend Ray been and where he possibly going.
You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show on blogtalkradio.com/marketingpulpit. And it is hosted by the irrepressible Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Back to you, Reverend.
You know, that's some cool music. I like that music. Well, welcome back to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. We can be heard here every first and third Friday of the month. And if there's a fifth Friday, we'll have something really special. And our time is from 3 to 4 p.m. East Coast time. So please tune in. And for more information, go to our new website. It is Disability. The number one radio.com. That's disability1radio.com, and you can hear some of our past shows, and you can leave some information if you want to, and you can get some information. So please, this is Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show. All right, now Miss Renee, our host with the most, is microphone number two, can continuously to drill Reverend Ray for another 10 minutes or so.
Well, drilling is such an ugly word, but I really do want to pick your brain because you have a plethora of information about disability services. And as we mentioned in the last segment, oftentimes disability comes on a senior rather suddenly, and they haven't had a chance to explore what is out there. And what we will be providing in this show is information that is usable across the country. For persons who are living in their own communities, and if there isn't an exact service, there is something very close to it. And one of the big issues that I get with seniors is transportation. And one of the things they tell me, oh, I don't have any problem with them wanting to take me to the doctor once a month, but if I have to go three times in a week, you know, they're not available. Or if I want to go get my hair done, they're not available, or a haircut, or, and so, you know, if they just want to go hang out with their girls, oftentimes they can't get a ride, and a lot of times they've already given up their independence by no longer driving. So transportation is a big issue for seniors. Rev, what is in your bag of magic tricks that cities across the country are addressing transportation for seniors and persons with disabilities?
Well, they have a number of programs, and they realize that if you do not have transportation and can't get around, you can't go to work, you can't go to your doctor's appointment, you can't go to church, you can't go shopping. So, and more that is becoming a problem transportation-wise, because more and more you have more seniors, you have more people that's becoming disabled. Now, Washington, D.C. has a wonderful programs when it comes to transportation. So I take my hat off to them, and hopefully we will have one of the representatives to come on to talk about some of the taxi programs they have, also with Metro Access, which is in the metropolitan D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, which is, you know, it costs a couple of dollars to, you know, go throughout the system. And we're also going to have someone to come on to explain paratransit and all of the transportation that it provides for seniors, as well as persons with disabilities, as well as persons that have some medical needs, because there's so many aspects to it. Like some people would say, well, why can, you know, Metro Access or paratransit can take me, as you mentioned, to one area of the county or city, and it can't take me to another area. And the same transportation that takes you that in that area, why can't take you on a weekend to that same area if it took you Monday through Friday? So it's a lot of aspects to it, but we're trying to galvanize a person with disability to be more involved. And as they say, everything, politics is local, all politics. So we're trying to get more persons with disability to be involved in their city government and their local government to affect the needs, the transportation needs for persons with disability. So that's where we are at the moment.
Okay, and you know, Reverend, a lot of times seniors here, you need to get more involved in politics, and the only thing they can think of is running for office. But how can seniors and persons with disabilities and seniors get their voice heard? What are some actual meat and potatoes ways of getting it heard? Because a lot of times when you hear it, you don't know what that means. Where do we start?
Well, you know, Ms. Renee, and I know most of us are involved in committees in our church, which is, you know, a wonderful thing to do and all. And the church has its place in the community with the services it provides in the community. But there's so many committees and boards in your city, like we here in Greenbelt, and we just had no idea of all the committees and boards that you can get on to affect the policies and stuff. Becoming a city council member, becoming a mayor of a city, just becoming a committee chair. If you're interested in trees and preserving your community in terms of the forestry in your community. I mean, there are so many things you can get involved in that you can start off to make a difference. And and the thing is, if you see a need in your community, be neighborly. I know it's gonna be a little hard now to get to know some of the neighbors and all, and going to some of the meetings. But also, go on. Everybody has a website. Find out what website your city have, and your city will have a city paper or county paper, and then have a website to tell you about when the councilmen meet. I mean, these laws and stuff on how it affects your schools and they don't just happen. They just don't stick their hand in a hat and pull out a slip and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. No, there's people that go to meetings. They give their opinion. They vote on it, or you can just volunteer, which I did, to work on a campaign for someone that's running for office. That's a great way of getting to go places that you could never get to go to, even if you paid for, and get to meet certain people and all. So think about working on a campaign. You say, well, what can I do? Maybe as a person with a disability, you can't go out and knock on doors and pass out flyers, but they need people to sit in the office and answer the phone, give out information. They don't stuff envelopes like they used to anymore, but there's a number of things that you can do. So that's what I would encourage people. You have to be more proactive than you have to be reactive. And Mr.
But
Ray,
Reverend,
I'm sorry, and Reverend Ray usually do call to action, and he didn't do it this time because, we're on that bicycle wobbling, but you will hear a call to action, Mr. Ray, and usually my call to action is that a person with disability get out in the community and be involved.
Well, what has been my experience, Reverend, is you mentioned churches and other houses of faith, is when you have a group of people that go to the city council meeting and ask for time on their agenda to express your concerns about transportation or affordable housing or employment for seniors, because there are many persons with disabilities and seniors who have abilities that can be employed in the marketplace, but they just need to have their voices heard. And what often the feedback I get is from city council members is, we had no idea that this need existed. We didn't know. We have a law, but we've never enforced it. So finding out when your city council meets, where they meet, and asking to be on the agenda with an agenda, but
yes,
getting together with church members or and talking about what is it that we need. You know, right now, affordable housing is a real challenge. You talked about the importance of having certain things built into the housing at the beginning. So if there's a new complex going up, find out who's in charge of that. How do we get heard on that particular issue? So there are a lot of things that that we can do. That we do, we don't have much time, but I want to get in one more idea about employment. Again, seniors need housing in their communities, and they need transportation. Is it realistic, Reverend, to expect or to be able to be employed once you reach your golden years? And with a person with a disability, are there job opportunities for those persons who may have become more disabled? Are there agencies that you can go to and say, hey, I feel good and I want to work. I need to supplement my income. Is that viable?
Well, that's the answer to that is yes, yes. It's viable, but we need a whole show to talk about employment. Of course, and this client, renowned, the employment of disability, and I always lump it with seniors to a degree, is way 80% or more, close to 90% of persons with disability in this country, which they figures anywhere from 57 million persons with disability are unemployed. But given technology and all, that can be a drawback on one hand because you have to be trained. So it's not so much that persons and seniors, as I mentioned earlier, living longer. So you don't want to retire at 55 or 60 years old, or some private company 65 or 70, and then you expect it to live another 30 years doing what? So you want to, you know, be employed. You want to be able to and whatever the Social Security, whatever the savings, whatever the, you know, that you have, that's going to not going to fail you if you're going to live another 10, 15, 20 years or more. So that's something new that we have to look at now. And here again, you know, seniors and persons with disability is going to be at the table to help the rest of the public or the able-bodied people to understand, yes, I can be valuable. Yes, due to training, you know, you can be employed. You can be meaningfully employed. So the answer to that is yes, 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 and I think we can put that down for a topic and have someone from unemployment and the disability community to come on and talk about that. So thank you very much. Our time is up. I thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Reverend Ray. And I want to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision, vision, vision. Close us out, Ms. Renee.
You have been listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. We are heard here every first and third Fridays of the month. We talk about issues that affect the disability and senior communities. Do you have an idea for a show? Call us at 301-377-6468. That's 301-377-6468.